More unique teachings by polygamist Rulin Allred next on Polygamy, What Love Is This? We continue to plow through Rulin Allred's teachings and his sermons. He was the founder and the first prophet of the Allred Polygamy Group. And in doing this, we welcome again a former plural wife from the Allred Group, Karen Bradshaw. Thanks again for coming.
You're welcome.
And for helping and participating and sharing your own experiences under his teachings. She sat under Rulin Allred's teachings and his successors. And so, of course, Karen knows the negative mental and emotional impact that false teachings have on a growing child. Before we get started on today's topics, we need to go back to the last one we did, our previous program on teachings, where we quoted Rulin Allred saying that Joseph Smith claimed that they brought the Mormon gospel to France and gave it to Napoleon Bonaparte, and he threw it in the fire. And so Joseph wanted to have his wife Josephine and all of the previous holy women of France sealed to him so they would have a righteous man in heaven. And in checking this out, we discovered, of course, this was impossible. It's something that Rulin Allred must have made up because it couldn't have actually happened.
That's why you couldn't find anything.
That's why I couldn't find it when I was searching it. But at any rate, he couldn't have received the Mormon gospel because the Mormon church didn't begin until when? 1830?
1830.
Napoleon was born in 1769 and he died in 1821 before the Mormon church was even existed.
Right.
He was emperor from 1804 to 1814, and Josephine, his wife, died in 1814. So all that Rulin Allred said happened, he just made that up because it couldn't have happened. It's way out of the time frame.
Right.
We just thought we would let our viewers know that.
And that the first Mormon missionary went to France in 1849.
In 1849?
I think that's what he said.
Okay, so
the 1840s. So
there's
no way
he couldn't have taken the Mormon gospel to Napoleon.
Right.
Napoleon was first of all dead, and the first Mormon missionary didn't even go there until years later. So,
right.
Anyway, just follow up on that. And sorry,
wow,
we didn't get that
amazing
in on the next one.
That's awesome.
So let's go to the page 292 of his sermons, where Rulin Allred talks about doubt, faith, and the man Joseph Smith, who allegedly restored a lost gospel in and for the latter days. So we quote from page 292.
Where doubt is, faith cannot exist. The prophet Joseph tells us we as Latter-day Saints, and that we are at least that we should be, ought to have no inkling of doubt in our minds as the truth of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ is brought to earth in this dispensation by the prophet Joseph Smith.
Okay, so everything he says there is a lie, based on what the Bible teaches us and on the character of God. Actually, doubt can exist with faith. Do you remember Peter walking on the water?
Right, I like that.
And Jesus, he said, Lord, if that's you, ask me to come down. And he did, and
I
he walked on the water.
I love that you brought this out, because I was always so scared to have any doubt. Like, I was so full of doubt, but...
Yeah, well, Peter doubted. He was walking on the water with Jesus, and he saw the big wave, and he doubted and began to sink. And Jesus immediately pulled him up and didn't allow him to perish. He asked Peter, why did you doubt? Well, Peter never lost faith during that time. He saw the storm, and Jesus understood. So actually, doubts and questions that cause us to study more deeply into God's Word is a good thing.
Right.
But doubts that would cause you to go away, take you away from God's truth, of course, is not a good thing. Doubts can really get us into studying and then reaffirming and making our faith stronger. Now, in this sermon, Allred reminds his listeners that they are or should be Latter-day Saints. Okay, Mormons and polygamists are the same religion. Okay.
Yeah, that's hard for the Mormons.
And the same belief, the same belief system, the same beginnings. But what defines a biblical saint according to the Bible? Now, the Bible always has the answer, and if you're in agreement with the biblical definition, you might be called a saint. but it's not the same as Mormonism's definition. We quote 1 Corinthians 1 and then Jude.
To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. And then Jude, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints.
Okay, so the saints is used there in both of these verses. She's used several times in the New Testament, but I'm just using these two examples. Being part of the Mormon religion, or any religion for that matter, does not make anyone a saint.
So the saints are believers in Christ, right?
The saints, it says, to those who call upon God, the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Okay. Mm. And then in Jude, they have to believe that the gospel was delivered once. Okay.
Just once.
Okay. So now the word saint, according to the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the Bible, means someone holy, set apart, sanctified, consecrated. It's a fundamental idea of separation and devotion to the service of God. A particular church membership has nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. When we are sealed to God by the Holy Spirit, we become set apart to God, by God, for God, and there's no polygamy or Joseph Smith or Mormonism involved in true biblical saints. Now, notice in the Jude verse that the biblical faith or gospel was once delivered to the saints, not twice, not restored, yeah, just
there's
once.
No, there's no restoration.
Because with God, once is enough.
Right.
The saints that Jude is writing to are genuine believers in God. They call upon His name. They don't call on Joseph Smith's name. They call upon God's name, and they believe His word. No one can disbelieve the Bible and still be called a true saint. Notice in the Corinthians passage that the saints who are sanctified call upon His name. Acts 4:12 tells us, no other name is given by which we must be saved. So a Latter-day Saint must give up on Joseph Smith and all he stands for and follow Jesus only. And that also applies to polygamists. Give up on Joseph Smith. You can't call upon the name of the Lord only.
He's a false prophet.
That's right. Now, you'll never find where polygamy is part of the salvation requirement or experience of God's genuine saints. And then Allred said that saints can have no doubts about the truth of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ brought in by Joseph Smith. And there's the rub. This is not what's described in the biblical definition of saint. The gospel was once delivered to the saints. A restoration was neither needed nor required, and actually did not take place. Joseph Smith's polygamous restoration is a counterfeit of the biblical gospel of Jesus Christ. Find one place, just one place, in the gospel accounts of Jesus' life and teachings where polygamy is or was part of God's salvation plan. Find one place where polygamy was ever required. Find one place where God commanded polygamy. Find one place that proves Joseph Smith's gospel is restored from the primitive gospel as they claim.
I could never find one. But I didn't know that because I never read the Bible until I left.
Right, right. And if he restored a gospel, the primitive gospel, which is supposed to have been the one the apostles lived and that Jesus taught, then why is it so different than the gospel of the Bible that Jesus taught?
Yeah,
it can't be restored.
When you're so blind, you just don't think about these
things.
That's
why we do this, to get them to urge them to get in there and do their studying and check it out. Yes. Okay, the next quote by Allred is not only very troubling, but it's one that people find difficult to accept the biblical answer. So we quote from page 294.
I have known men who have personally had a visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think he was talking about himself as well, because he talked about Jesus visiting him as well.
Mm-hmm.
He said, do you know, Jesus basically shook his hand. So this is interesting that he doesn't mention he had a visitation from Jesus. So anyway, I had a visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have never borne that testimony, even to their dearest friends and closest companions, for the simple reason that the incident was so sacred and so holy that they feared offending God by relating it to someone who would not believe. But the hour is at hand when these visitations will become common enough, in the sense that they will be frequent and involve enough persons that we will not be able to keep it from being generally known.
Okay, so, and then he gives several examples of Mormon prophets who claim to have been physically visited by Jesus Christ himself, Joseph Musser, Joseph F. Smith, Lorenzo Snow, to name a few, but I don't think he mentioned himself.
And then himself, yes, I'll have to find that quote. He does.
But how do they know?
It's in the second volume.
How do they know it was Jesus who visited them? That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah.
How do they know it wasn't a dream or a counterfeit Jesus? Of course, he's going to say he's Jesus, you know, but how do they know that he's the real Jesus?
Right. They don't.
We don't know what Jesus looks like. There was no photographs in those days. There's no official portrait of him. All we have is artist renditions of what some artist thinks that what he looked like. But not only that, does Jesus return time after time to affirm a false gospel to humans?
Amen.
To affirm a polygamous gospel where Jesus himself affirmed monogamy. You can compare the Mormon gospel with the biblical gospel and quickly point out the differences. Did Jesus change his gospel to fit in with Joseph Smith's gospel? Would he teach polygamists about polygamy even though he affirmed monogamy when he was here 2,000 years ago? If they saw anyone at all, we know it wasn't Jesus. We have some scriptures to back up what we're saying. We'll start with Acts chapter 3.
And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began.
Okay, so it says heaven received Jesus after his resurrection, and he stays there until his second coming.
Wow.
And that's when he does away with sin and restores God's perfect creation, which is the restoration of all things. That's what the restoration of all things is referring to in the book of Acts. Jesus doesn't return dozens of times to affirm a false gospel. He has a first coming and he has a second coming. And that's it.
I remember that baffled me when you showed me this in our Bible study.
Yeah. Hebrews 9, 28.
So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for them, for him.
If he appears a second time, okay?
Is now, that the rapture?
When he returns, that's not the rapture. That's when he comes to destroy sin and set up the kingdom of righteousness before the millennium. Now, we know the argument that they have that, well, he appealed to the Apostle Paul. But Paul himself said that Jesus' appearance to him was as though he was born out of due time. Okay? Now, in other words, it was an extreme exception. Now, the Bible has God's explanation for those alleged visits to these polygamous men, or any other visit by a heavenly being. So first of all, we're going to quote 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4.
And before I read it, I mean, if everyone that's in polygamy, there's so many visitations that they're always coming up with, you know.
And that's why this is so important.
The 1886 revelation was that Jesus came to
Jesus
John
and Joseph
Taylor.
Smith both come back.
Yeah. Right. And
Maybe we need to do a show on visiting what happens with when the dead. But anyway, that's not for this time. But at any rate, this would be for anyone who thinks that they're having spiritual experiences where these angels or Jesus is visiting them. Pay attention to these scriptures.
But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one who we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accept, you put up with it readily enough.
Now, the deception by the serpent to Eve was devastating. It caused the fall of man. Now, those who claim that Jesus comes to them and claim or teach unbiblical attributes to teach different gospel are being led astray by a wrong spirit with a different gospel. And the Apostle Paul was upset because the Corinthian believers, just like what we talk about with those in Mormonism, were so easily accepting the false gospel that was brought on by deceiving spirits. Okay? Jesus isn't going to affirm monogamy and then turn around and come and teach polygamy. It just isn't going to happen. Yet that's what they claim. Right. Now, further down in that same chapter in 2 Corinthians, we have a couple more verses.
For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds.
So in a word, these visitations are deceit, they're false, they are disguises, they're counterfeits. All of those are described in these scriptures by people who are bringing false religion into our world. Their end is not good. We have another scripture from the book of Galatians.
I love these scriptures. I am astounded that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed.
And the Gospel of Mormonism is a different message than what the Bible teaches. Paul warns us that even if an angel from heaven brings a different gospel, it's cursed. And you need to be careful, because not only is the messenger cursed, so is the message. The book of 1 John warns us about dangerous spiritual activity and the need to test what they are saying. 1 John.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world.
And we've already proved Reuben Allred's a false prophet and Joseph Smith's a false prophet. It's not shameful to recognize and admit that you've been taught a false gospel by a wolf in sheep's clothing. What is shameful is to refuse to investigate and test for the truth and to reject the counterfeit.
Right.
And,
it's like,
and
wake up.
And people say, well,
research.
That's your interpretation. You can't trust the Bible, you know, is to ignore the facts. Yeah, that just ignores the facts. The scriptures that we've presented are not difficult to understand. They're very easily properly interpreted. And if you can't trust God to keep his promises to preserve his word throughout all generations, then you can't trust him to fulfill any of the promises that you think that he's made to you through Mormonism.
You can't trust anything, honestly, if you can't
trust
the word of God.
No, you can't trust God. That's right. On September 28th, 1974, Reuben Allred gave a lengthy talk in Salt Lake City entitled, The Principle of Plural Marriage Kept Alive, when polygamists use the phrase, living the fullness of the gospel. Remember, they are referring specifically to polygamy. Mm-hmm. That's what fullness of the gospel means. Keep that in mind. Now, Allred mentioned his father, whom he said was honored among people in the LDS Church until later in life. We quote,
he did live the fullness of the gospel. He made the serious mistake of letting the public find it out. The sin is not in the living of the gospel, but in the advertising of it, living it and letting it be known.
Okay. Now, he mentioned several people who lived the gospel, but they kept it secret because they would be expelled if they let it be known. He doesn't mention them by name, of course, but then he went on to say this.
I am thinking of Brother Abraham O'Cannon, who lived plural marriage and died before it was discovered and was consigned to his proper place, the fullness of celestial glory. I could go on quite indefinitely and name not to exceed about 75 whose names would be rather easy for me to uncover. 45% of them lived out their lives in peace because it was not publicized, or it did not become generally known that they were polygamist. Therefore, they had the good fortune to go into celestial glory.
Now, there's a problem here. In Mormonism, they believe their prophets cannot lead the people astray. So according to their faith, everything Allred said is supposed to be God's truth. Now, in this sermon, he's talking about many LDS men who lived polygamy but kept it secret, exactly like Joseph Smith did. They lied about it. And the Book of Mormon says all liars will be thrust down to hell. Okay, that should end it right there. Wow. Also, living polygamy is illegal. So not only did they live a secret life, they lived an illegal life. Now, celestial glory to them is the highest exaltation, where the men can become gods, have their own planets, and have eternal sex with all of their wives and populate their planets. That's part of the Mormon gospel. Biblical Christians know this isn't true. God alone and God's name alone will be exalted, and he is the only God who ever was, who is, and whoever will be. So let's talk about the secrecy. You can't become gods by living polygamy, but what about their secret life here? Does God want his people to live secret lives? Did Jesus condone secret lives and lies? Well, Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." And now you have a couple of quotes from Matthew, one from Matthew and one from Luke.
Yes. I mean, we were taught to lie all the time keep secrets.
We
no one could know who we were married to. And this was all, you know, this was going on in every household.
Right. Right. Same with us.
So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And that's what we're doing here.
That's right.
Luke 8:17 says, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known as come to light."
So secrecy is not an activity that God approves of. Jesus himself, in his trial before his crucifixion, said in John 18:20 that he had spoken openly to the world. He had taught nothing in secret. Jesus' life was an open book. So if Mormonism is God's kingdom that follows Jesus, why so many secrets? Now, one more point I'd like to make on this last quote is that Reuben Allred preached this. He's the one who founded the Allred Polygamy Group. He's preaching the sermon to live polygamy private and not advertise it to the world. Now, there's, I don't know how many people know that the reality show Sister Wives, they were from the AUB Polygamy Group.
Yeah, I knew them very well.
The Allred Polygamy Group. And they have advertised their polygamy for 18 seasons. Don't they listen to their prophet?
No, they didn't want him to do
it. The polygamy group that Cody Brown and his five wives are from is the Allred Group. And we know that they agreed to do the show to represent polygamy as being agreeable and a viable alternative lifestyle. But their leader, Reuben Allred, said they should not advertise their polygamy. As usual, there's just too many contradictions in the teachings and in the practice of the Mormon polygamists. So next, Allred gives some explanations of what he called the relationship of the gods as pertaining to our mortal existence, stating that creation was spiritual before it was a physical reality.
Oh, they taught that big time, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's all of Mormonism.
Pre-existence, we were spirits in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mormonism they have the same idea about humans, despite the fact that 1 Corinthians 15 says that the spiritual did not come first. And Joseph Smith's translation of the Bible says the same thing, that in 1 Corinthians 15, that the spiritual did not come first.
And it's so hard coming out of polygamy to grasp that, but I finally read that and it just hit me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, everything was created naturally by God, by Jesus, before it was ever spiritual. And it just hit me so hard that we have been so lied to.
We've been so lied to.
As a polygamist.
Gaslighted, deceived.
Yes.
Okay, so page 307, what did he say?
Joseph Smith said there were three gods pertaining to the spiritual world. and there are three gods pertaining to the temporal world. These three gods were God the Father, and he is defined as Adam, God the Son, and he is defined as the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and God the Holy Ghost. But I wish to emphasize that the Holy Ghost emanates from the presence of all the gods through our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ.
And a paragraph later, he quotes Heber C. Kimball from a conference message who said,
I want you saints to understand that you cannot receive the Holy Ghost except through Brigham Young and me. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Whoa. Allred said that Joseph Smith was the Holy Ghost in this dispensation. We read that in another sermon in a previous program. But right. Everything he taught here is from a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah,
false doctrine.
They also taught that you would not be able to meet Jesus unless you went through them, all the leaders, mm-hmm. not just Reuelen, but every prophet to Joseph Smith. Mm-hmm. It's just so bizarre.
Yeah, you can't even be let into the kingdom without through the gates unless Joseph Smith gives the approval.
Yeah, it's Joseph. It's all about Joseph.
And this is all, this is all an attack on the character of God Himself.
Right.
We must have a standard. We must have a reliable standard and source for God's truth. And God gave us one, and it's the Bible. God's own testimony about Himself is there, but people will believe other people's testimony about God and reject God's own testimony about Himself. And that's clearly the case in Mormonism. Now, the errors in Allred's talks are the spiritual did not come first. The physical did. He said God the Father is Adam. No, he's not. Adam was made from the dust by God. Adam became a sinner. How in the world can God be a sinner? He said the Holy Spirit emanates out from the gods, but there are no other gods. The Bible teaches one God, which consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That man can become gods is the original lie told by the serpent in the Garden of Eden and caused the fall of mankind. Jesus said the devil cannot tell the truth. There is no truth in him. And since the devil tempted Eve with that lie, we know it's a lie.
Right.
Now, that's all for this
Amen.
Time.
Amen, Doris.
We're reaching the end of his sermons. We've only got a couple more left in this book. But if we find more, we'll be working through them, too, to separate truth from error in the Mormon polygamy doctrine.
This is so amazing.
So far-fetched, some of it. It really is. And yet we believed it. And if you don't know any better, you're going to believe it. Please test things. Thanks, Karen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll do it again.
Thanks for having me.
Psalm 138, verse 2 says that God has exalted above all things His name and His word. God's name and God's word is exalted above all things. And again, what does the word all mean? Is there someone else who is exalted above God? Is there someone else's word that is exalted above the Bible? If His name and His word is exalted above all things, then Joseph Smith, polygamy, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, the Living Prophets, talks, none of them are worth anything because God's word is above and exalted above everything else. God has promised that everything else will pass away, but His word will endure forever. We can believe that God can and does keep His promises, or we can refuse to believe God. But in choosing to not believe Him is taking part in our own path to condemnation. Choose God and His word. You cannot lose by trusting in Him. Thank you for watching.
This has been the audio podcast of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. Polygamy, What Love Is This? Is produced by A Shield and Refuge Ministry. More information on this program, including the video version of it, can be found at whatloveisthis.tv. If you have any questions or need help getting free from Mormon fundamentalism, write us at contact@shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 1-800-877-425-9993.